What's next in the doc? Well, this month, we're looking at Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Quick rundown of what Maslow's hierarchy of needs is. It's a theory in psychology proposed by Abraham Maslow in his 1943 paper, A Theory of Human Motivation. It's a triangle. It's brightly coloured. That's why people like it. Joe, what do you think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs?
I do like it, I must admit, and I've studied it a few different times in different ways, and I've got the job this time round of defending it, so I have to be pro Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I think contractually at this point, like you say, we don't always get to choose if we're defending or prosecuting, but that's all fine. And actually, did you know that Maslow never presented the hierarchy in terms of a pyramid? It was developed much later as a way to graphically represent it.
Ah, interesting. No, I didn't.
Well, you see, that's what you learn on the podcast, all sorts of things.
So you're defending. I think you should start, or shall I start?
I'll give it a go. Okay, so lots of us know what Maslow's hierarchy of needs are. It's around the different kind of levels that we need to go through in order to survive. So what many of us have seen is it represented as a triangle, and at the very bottom we have our basic needs. So things like physiological needs, we need food, water, warmth, rest, roof over our head, stuff like that. The next one up is safety needs and so on. I'm not going to describe the whole thing. You can Google it and go and find loads of information if you don't know already. The point that we've got here is we move from basic needs such as that safety and security through psychological needs such as belonging, we need love, we need accomplishment, through to the top of the triangle, that self-actualization, our full potential. And what's really interesting is that Abraham Maslow put this hierarchy of needs together to illustrate and expand upon the differences between the social and intellectual needs of those in society. So some of the criticisms are that it's very kind of Western. It's really based on kind of white middle-aged men, essentially. So there's some huge contradictions there, some challenges to it, which is very understandable. But I think what's really interesting about this, it's what Maslow saw in successful people. He found that a lot of the psychological theories at the time were based on clinical issues, on impairment, on kind of damage, and he didn't want to focus on that. So for me, this is all about the positivity that comes from looking at what he felt were self-actualized individuals. So there were people like Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, Einstein is always cited. He did actually study some self-actualized females as well, Eleanor Roosevelt and Mother Teresa, but they were a smaller portion of the sample. One of the challenges of Maslow's hierarchy of needs is it doesn't have the scientific rigour behind lots of other things. And I'm absolutely sure that's probably going to be the cornerstone of John's prosecution. And I completely understand that, and I wouldn't want to take away from that. What one of Maslow's colleagues said, who worked in the same office as him, a lady called Margie Lachman, says that he wanted to have the grand theory, the grand ideas, and that he certainly did. And the fact that it came from a basis of looking at the positivity and what people have done really well, I think is a great point. So I've got some other stuff, John, but I think I'll pause there and see what damning evidence you have against me.
It's not against you, Joe. It's not you. It's Maslow. So that's an interesting, yeah, I mean, the first part about saying that it was never a triangle, and that part came along later and wasn't with the original theory. It doesn't matter. That just strikes me as a Maslow-file trying to use that to say that, well, it's not what he meant at all. It doesn't matter, because the whole point is that what I'm going to criticise here isn't the needs, it's the hierarchy. And whether it's displayed as a triangle, an octagon, a square, a dodecahedron or whatever, it doesn't make any sense. The needs are understandable, and I'm sure they could be proven. The fact that he only took the healthiest 1% of the college student population, that's damning in itself, because that's not a proper study. I'm pretty sure that he didn't have any kind of control group or anything like this, although that part I haven't researched, which is ironic. So yeah, it isn't a hierarchy. It's a set of needs. One doesn't have to be fulfilled. It's not like Donkey Kong, where you have to go up one level, you know, have to complete a level to get to the next one. These needs can happen and be expressed in an individual independently of each other. They don't have to, you don't have to complete one level to get to the next one. For example, you could be self-actualized, you could have esteem, but you might not have a roof over your head. Look at the entirety of the Enlightenment, the Renaissance, all painters and composers for the last 500 years. Who should we name? Rembrandt, Van Gogh, Mozart, Toulouse-Lautrec. They all ended up penniless. They all experienced extreme poverty, whilst also publishing and composing some of their most amazing work. So to say that one is dependent on the other does not hold up to any kind of scrutiny. It was never tested in the field. We know this. All the people that he studied, actually, this isn't quite true, but most of the people he studied were of the same social class. That's kind of all I've got. Do I need to go any further?
I don't think you need to, really. I think you're right. I mean, Maslow himself did say that people's needs change. But when he said that, the way certainly I've researched it, the way I understand it, is that he was saying that those needs change as you move through those levels, certainly not how we understand it. You're absolutely right that you can have different things at different levels. And that's what a lot of people who've done research since then have said. And I think it's really valuable in terms of a model. And as George Box said, all models are wrong, some are useful. I think it's really useful as a discussion point and the research it's launched after that. What I like about it is it focused on the positive, as I said. And I'm quoting here from a BBC news article, actually. And they say this opened the door for later movements such as humanistic psychology and positive psychology. And I think if that's what came from it, that's really good. I think if what comes from it is this is exactly how people work, and again, it's trotted out in training after training, absolutely right. You know, I can't defend that. But in terms of the positivity of what it's given us since then, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, agreed. And I think this is what we find with a lot of the models, theories, propositions and persistent ideas that get put on trial in this section, is that they are always useful in some context, in that we can take certain ideas from them. They're the jump-off point for slightly more accurate or better researched ideas in the future. I think why we're doing this is because it's odd that people still subscribe to these theories which are clearly outdated, you know? So they have been useful, and they were probably more useful when there wasn't anything better around. But it's just strange that some of them have carried on and some people still go for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think to end on a somewhat humorous note, a lot of people will have probably seen the hierarchy of needs and then drawn underneath it the most basic level of all, which of course is Wi-Fi.
Absolutely.